Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together to complete that honey-do list, featuring answers to your questions and head-to-head tool challenges. Let's get started with the show with the Handy Guys, Brian and Paul.
It is show number 18 of the Handy Guys Podcast, and we're continuing discussing basements and basement refinishing. And Brian is getting himself ready here for the podcast.
I'm ready.
You're a little late for the show, Brian.
I'm ready.
All right. Well, I'm glad you can make it, and I'm glad you listeners out there can make it. I know some of you are listening to us as this podcast is being published. Some of you may are going to listen to it in sometime in the future. I know some of our old shows are still being listened to by our many fans out there, and we appreciate you listening to our show. Now, if you want to contact us before we discuss in the show, by the way, we're going to talk about budgeting for your basement refinishing job and dealing with permits and some code issues, some issues that you need to consider. Before we get into that, let's give out our contact information,
okay,
Brian.
So you can call us anytime, day or night, at area code 615-676-0877, or
you can email us at handyguyspodcast.com. You can go to our website, handyguyspodcast.com, click on the contact link, or better yet, just Google us. Put in Handy Guys, and you'll find us.
That's right. We're number one.
And please send us in an email or comment. You know, maybe you have a criticism of our show. Maybe I talk too much, or Brian talks too much.
Or maybe we don't know what we're talking about sometimes.
Yeah, maybe we said something that you disagree with. And in fact, I made a mistake a few weeks back. I said you need to put your second application of fertilizer in before Labor Day. I meant to say Memorial Day.
Yeah, what were you thinking?
Yeah, and why didn't you correct me there, Brian? Don't you know anything?
Well, I didn't want to make you look bad.
Oh, okay. Well, today we're going to talk about just looking at how to budget for a remodeling job, particularly in the basement. We're going to talk about what it costs and also dealing with permits and code issues, what you need to consider. We're not going to get into every detail of code, because if we did, I mean, I have the code right here in front of me. I could read it to you if you want.
Right.
But
no, please don't.
We're not a show dealing with insomnia, so we don't need to do that. All right, let's get into it. Brian,
yes.
I want to finish my basement. How much is it going to cost me?
You're doing it yourself, right?
Well, I'm thinking about doing it myself, or maybe
do-it-yourself show, so we're going to do it yourself.
Wait a minute, but I want more time with my family. I got other things to do. I need to finish, you know, that organization in the closet. You know, I want to compare. I want to compare how much it's going to cost to do it myself versus a contractor.
Okay, so we gave some national averages a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about considering doing your basement. So do-it-yourself job, $20 to $30 a square foot, roughly.
Okay.
There's a lot of factors that go into that. If you're going to have a contractor do it, you can figure $75 to $85 a square foot.
Oof. Does that include a bathroom, or is that just the basement for $75 to
$80? At the higher end of that, it's going to include a powder room. On the lower end of that, it may not. And you might get a wet bar at the $85. You know, some other higher end stuff. If you go bare bones with a contractor, you're looking at the lower end of that, $70, $75.
Okay. And actually, you know, we do know how much it costs us in our basements, and we were looking, both of us, we estimated that it cost us about $25 to $30 a square foot to do it ourselves. That was no plumbing as far as a major bathroom. It was just a finished space. And for each of us, that's how much it cost.
Right. Mine was a little bit higher on the per square foot side, but it included a gas fireplace and piping and
you hired
so
out the drywall.
And I hired out the drywall. You also hired out your drywall.
We hired out just the hanging of and the taping of the drywall, and we'll talk about that when we get into those issues. We both highly recommend, if you can find some good drywall hangers, just hire it out. It's done in a couple days, and they do it better than you can unless you do it all the time.
Yeah.
And the key there is doing it quickly and not breaking your back. So we hired that part out. So in my case, it was around $23 to $25 a square foot. If I hadn't hired that out, it may have been closer to that lower number. So we're saying $20 to $30 a square foot, at least in our area, to do it yourself. And most actually those materials are going to be the same everywhere. Drywall, studs are going to be pretty close to the same price.
That's right. And if you go carpeting, with some higher end stuff, if you go with really high end carpet, or if you go to wood floors or some high end tile, it's going to run you're going to be at the higher end of that. But if you go with basic materials, you're going to be at the lower end of that.
All right, another thing you need to consider is how much area in your basement are you going to finish? You know, you may want to leave some unfinished space for storage. You may want to leave available space for maybe if you're not ready to put in a bathroom yet, but you want to do it in the future. You know, you need to.
That's right.
Make that available.
And you're also going to have to consider you're not finishing, obviously, the area where you have utilities. So in my case, I have sort of a central area where I've got a furnace and a hot water heater under the steps. That area is obviously not finished. I have a little closet where the electric panel is. I also have another closet built around a sump pump and my radon mitigation stuff. So I've got little areas kind of carved out, and then a storage area in another part of the basement.
So you want to plan, obviously, your basement, where you want finished, unfinished space. And as you do that, you should begin to draw. And, you know, get some graph paper, something like that. You could use a computer. You could get Visio or some other...
Visio, Google SketchUp. I've seen people use. When I the first edition I ever did on an old house, I actually used a $29.95 program from a company called...
Don't say it.
They're out of business now, I think.
I think they are. I was going to have some critical things to say about it, so that's why I didn't want you.
Okay. Well, did I get it out?
No.
Okay. Well, anyway, it was a very cheap program.
That crashed all the time.
And it was suitable enough to pull the permit and do what I needed to do. So.
But you know what? You can use, and we're both kind of computer geeks. We're both computer geeks, okay? So I'm an IT director. I'm always messing with different software.
We're just geeks.
Okay, fine. We're both geeks. And I've used a lot of different software, but sometimes I just like to have that graph paper in front of me because I can go down, you know, be in the basement, and I can draw stuff a lot faster than I can. You know, I don't want to be messing around trying to figure out how to move objects around and deal with computer issues.
So your first step is you're just going to measure everything out.
Right.
What's your exterior, you know, what's the perimeter?
Right.
And then you're going to draw in where all your mechanicals are, where all your furnace, your hot water heater, your electric panel.
Don't worry about being accurate to an inch. You don't need to be that accurate. When you go to submit your permit application, you need it to be good, but it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be computerized drawing. You don't want it to be written on a gravy-stained napkin either.
Right.
But, you know, it should be to scale, but you don't need to worry about if you're off an inch here or there. You just need to, the inspectors and the zoning officer needs to be aware of where things are, what your basic dimensions are.
Yeah, draw your windows and doors and stairs and all that kind of stuff in.
So you can just put, you know, an opening for where your window is going to be and just write a little note. This is a, you know, 48-inch by 24-inch window or something like that.
And as I was planning out, once I did that initial drawing that showed where everything was, one of the first things I realized was my hot water heater was not in a good spot. And so I ended up moving the hot water heater a little further under the steps so that I could make that an open room where the water heater was. Also draw in any support posts that you have, because those become very difficult and expensive and to move. So don't even go down that road. Just draw them in and work around them. And then what I did was... I actually finished my basement in two stages. First phase was shortly after I moved in the house. I just wanted a home office, and I built that back in a corner of the basement. And then phase two was finishing the rest of the basement. And essentially what I did was I just said, I'm just going to finish the exterior walls. I'm not going to partition it up. I've seen too many basements where people say, okay, I want a little room here, I want a room here, a room there, a room there. And everything gets chopped up. So I made mine completely wide open. I figured it'd be easy enough if I ever wanted to break it one room into two. I could easily put a partition in there at some point in the future.
Okay, so you do your planning, you start drawing, and as you do that, you need to think about what are some big issues as far as the permit application process. What are going to be some considerations here? For instance, you need to have, you know, enough space for your landing and your steps, and you need to have make sure your room your utilities are accessible, and you know, what are some of the issues? And we're going to talk in specific about those, but as a general rule of thumb, one tip I have found that usually works, not always, your results will vary, is to find out who your building inspector is and give him or her a call and ask them questions. Ask them, you know, what permits are involved with finishing your basement.
Right, and they ask them for some guidelines because they may be able to print you out or have right. a little packet prepared finishing your basement.
Exactly. I know more and more townships I'm seeing do have exactly that. A little packet tells you, you know, you need to consider, you know, fire blocking. You need to consider where you put your outlets, how many you have, the spacing, what you do with your utilities. And right. they're going to walk you through that in some cases. Some home inspectors are not very helpful. Then, you know, Google will help you out with the issues. But a lot of times, if you just get to know them, act like you want to go to them for some information and some knowledge, and a lot of time they will help you out and give you some tips on what they're going to look for when they, you know, when you're applying for your permits and getting inspections for your work.
Right. And I think, you know, in tying in with planning out your space, I think one of the bigger issues when you're considering where your walls are going to go is how much room you have around your mechanicals. So, for example, you can't put a wall in front of your electric panel, for example. You can't put, and your walls around your hot water heater and your furnace are going to need to be not only give you access for maintenance to that equipment, but also have enough airspace for the combustion sure. that may go on in there if they're gas burning.
Right,
appliances.
Let's talk about that. We're going to go into specifics then. Let's talk about what are some of the major items to consider for passing your inspections. What are some of the code issues? And let's start with the HVAC. Your heating and air conditioning. You need to consider combustion air is what you're kind of getting into.
That's right.
You know, if you have a gas burning or any kind of fossil fuel burning heater or furnace, you need to consider the fact that it needs to get enough air to combust.
That's right.
And to burn efficiently, so that you get the most bang for your buck in that furnace in efficiency. And there are ways to calculate that, and hopefully we'll post some information on that in some forms online, or at least have some links to forms where you can calculate what kind of combustion air you need. And usually that it's the first thing you need to do is figure out what your BTU output is
right.
of your equipment. Not only your furnace, but if you have a hot water heater, if it's gas, you'll need to consider that as well. And you add those up. So, for instance, if you have a 100,000 BTU furnace and a 30,000 BTU water heater, you need to make sure you have enough combustion air for 130,000 BTUs. And there's a simple calculation you can do to figure that out.
Right. On the other hand, maybe in my case, my furnace brought its combustion air in from outside.
Right.
So I didn't need
you
to...
Is it called a direct vent or system? Or it actually has PVC that brings air in. And
that's
then
right.
And then also there's a...
A separate line going
right.
out.
Yeah. So it's a high efficiency system, I know.
Right. So it's so that did not need to go into the calculations, but my hot water heater, although that was what's called a direct vent as well, or a powered vent, but it used combustion air from
yeah.
the room to burn.
So the key there is if you're going to enclose that equipment into a room, into a utilities room, in most cases there's not enough air in that room for it to combust. So then you got to put in vents to bring in air from the rest of your basement. And you just need to make sure that you have enough cubic feet available in the rest of your basement combined
right.
for combustion air. And typically you do, but you just need to prove it. When you're applying for your permits. And one thing to note is that in recent past, a lot of people would put in louvered doors to the utilities rooms. And some of the newer codes, for some reason, is beyond me, do not allow that anymore. You actually have to put a vent within a foot of the floor and a vent within a foot of the ceiling. I know, for instance, at the beginning in 2003, the International Residential Code for 2003 requires those sorts of vents, and louvered doors do not pass code.
Right. And you know what? I actually liked that feature of the code, and I'll tell you why. Because the furnace and the powered vent hot water heater both have blowers in it that do make noise. And so by having a solid door on the utility room, it cut down on the noise transmission to sort of an entertaining area adjacent to that space, and I was able to put those required vents on the opposite side where I didn't want a door.
Sure.
But I was able to put the vents in there to get the combustion air into that area, and I cut down a little bit on the noise.
So we're not going to get into all the details of how you make those calculations, but we may post some of those on our site if we get an opportunity, or send us an email. I'll be happy to provide those calculations for you. The reason, one of the reasons I don't provide them is it may be slightly different in different areas of the country, and
it's going to be different.
Yeah, and I'd prefer that you contact your home inspector and ask them, find out what your local issues are, and that's your most reliable contact in determining these things. Okay, so that's for HVAC. So there's combustion air. Any other issues with HVAC? The other thing is seeing if you're going to heat your space using the general system that you have already, your furnace. You need to determine if you have enough BTU output to heat the additional finished space. And so there's different calculations for that, too.
That's right. And you may want to consult an HVAC professional, because it has to do with how many windows you have, how many doors you have, the kind of insulation you have, the climate you have. There's a whole lot of variables that go into that.
I spent many hours figuring all that out. I was able to piece enough information on the web, and I didn't get all the details exactly right, but my local code officer corrected my errors. And I found a worksheet as well on the web to do that. But what was interesting is all my neighbors were saying, oh, they didn't put in big enough furnaces in these houses. They were not sized big enough to include, to finish a basement. That was the word on the street. And so I thought, that's interesting. And I read some basement finishing books, and they all said the opposite. Usually a builder will put in a furnace that's a little bit larger than your finished space so that you can finish your basement and it's big enough. So I decided to go ahead and do the calculations. And what did I find? Well, it was, at least on paper, size big enough to finish my basement. The problem is that I have a forced hot air system, gas system, and on paper I can get it enough to heat the space, but basements just don't heat very well because they're surrounded by soil that's always, 55 degrees or something like that year round.
Something like that, yeah.
And so it's always cooling the space, and so it doesn't really heat the same way is the rest other floors, and you always find that it has that kind of a chill or humid chill, at least in the wintertime, which in my case I didn't care about because it was mainly a play area for the kids and they're always running around and they'll do fine in 65 degree temperatures, 24/7. But if it was really a space that I wanted to be in and I had an entertainment center and that kind of thing, I'd probably want to consider some auxiliary heat just in addition to having some of the ducts that I installed to my general furnace.
Right. And that's why I put the gas fireplace in. It's a 28,000 BTU gas fireplace with a thermostat and all of that, and I can just set that thermostat to 70 degrees if I want, and it'll hold that temperature no matter what the temperature is outside.
You're listening to the Handy Guys Podcast. Okay, so those are the considerations for HVAC. Do your calculations. I'll try to include some of those in the post with this podcast on what you need to know, but check with your local building inspector. Electrical. The big thing there is, making sure you have enough outlets. You need to have, generally speaking, at least an outlet on every wall, and if it's a longer wall, you need to have it, within every 6 feet or so?
I think it's every...
Can't be more than 12 feet from an outlet.
12 foot total.
Right.
So essentially the idea there is that the cord on any lamp is going to be
That's
6
right.
foot. So you always,
you're always within 6 foot.
You're
so they could be 12 feet
foot.
Apart,
right.
right, but you're never more than 6 feet from an outlet. That's what it is.
Right. And now, my preference is to put in, while you're at it, you might as well put in more outlets than you need. But I got a little grief.
But every 2 feet, Brian, is a little bit ridiculous.
It wasn't quite every 2 foot. But I had
And on the ceiling, come on, that just looks a little bit too much.
No, I did have that access in the ceiling, but I put a nice light in there, so... But no, I did about every 6 to 8 foot, and I don't know. Some people think it looks a little funny, but and then where I knew I was going to have some entertainment equipment, electronic equipment.
It looks funny, though, when it's unfinished. As soon as you put in some furniture and stuff, then they just disappear.
You don't even notice it.
When we moved to a new building at work, they had the orange, some of the outlets were orange because they were
isolated grounds,
right. And they put them in every office, and some of the owners, and I admit it myself, I looked at them like, this looks awful. You got these orange outlets. Well, it's because there wasn't any office furniture in any of the offices, and so they just screamed at you. But as soon as you put furniture in there, we all forgot about
right.
it.
Yeah, but where I did the where I knew I was going to have some TV and DVD player and surround sound and all that, I put in a bank of three outlets gang together.
But did you have to run 12 gauge to every outlet? We'll talk about that another time.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay,
another time.
So those are the obvious electrical load calculations. We talked about a little bit that last show. You not only need to make sure you have room in your main panel to service, but you need to figure out how many circuits you're going to need for lighting, for outlets. You need to figure out what you're going to run. You know, if you have a sump pump, you're usually going to have a dedicated line for that. You're going to figure out, depending on square footage, how many outlets you have. You know, generally speaking, this is general terms, 8 to 10 outlets per circuit. And then if you have lighting, you may want to have a separate lighting circuit, that sort of thing.
Or two separate lighting circuits, exactly. Depending on the the wattage. If you've got...
And bathrooms need dedicated circuits.
Right.
That kind of thing.
And GFIs in the bathrooms and things like that. But if you're going to have, you know, 30 can lights in your basement, that's going to be... more than one circuit, more than
right.
Likely.
Okay, so the other thing is, you know, when you're doing your electrical, consider low voltage applications. You may want to run Ethernet if you want to do home computer networking, or you might want to run coax for video applications, perhaps other multimedia type.
Speaker wire for surround sound speakers, all that kind of good stuff. And the codes don't...
Phone? Phones, don't forget. Do some people still use wired phones anymore? I don't know.
That's right. Yeah, I still do. I got the phone outlets.
I didn't bother running any phone line, because I'll use the Ethernet if I ever need it, but I don't think I will. All my phones are wireless at this point.
Yeah, I ran all that stuff. So then you end up having a really crazy-looking panel, you know, where all those wires come together.
All right. So that's electrical. Carpentry issues. We talked about ceiling height last week. You want to figure out what the code that they're going to enforce for ceiling height, not only for in the general areas, but under soffits where you have to cover up, you know, utilities and vents and that kind of thing. Insulation is a huge issue we could spend a whole entire show on, but we won't. But that's a big issue for basements because some... Insulation has proven to be to actually cause lead to mold and other moisture problems.
And I don't think it's the insulation that is actually leading to the mold, but it's more the application of vapor barriers.
Vapor barriers.
And the problem there is some insulation has vapor barriers built into it, and so insulation gets the blame. But the problem becomes when you trap moisture against insulation, you're going to have the potential of mold. And so that's the biggest issue. So you need to look at, bottom line is, like we said on the last show, keep the moisture out of the basement to begin with, and you'll be fine.
Sure.
And don't set up a situation where you're going to trap moisture in the walls by having moldable vapor barriers or vapor barriers in the wrong place. So do what's right for your climate. Do what is typical in your area, and you should be okay.
Yeah, talk to your building inspector, do some research online. There's different ways you can do it. You can use the foam-based insulation. You can use the
fiberglass
bats. The bats, that kind of thing. But the vapor barrier is the big issue. Also, consider the fact that most... I know some have suggested no insulation in the past.
That's right.
But so a lot of local codes will require a minimum of R9, so you have to... Again, look at what your local zoning and codes are.
That's right.
What else? Fire blocking is another issue. Most modern codes now require fire blocking for your walls, that where you actually don't have an air gap between your framed walls and your exterior wall, so that if there's a fire behind the wall, like an electrical outlet, it can't get air and it spread up through the house quickly.
That's right. So, and what is that? So it involves two components usually, and that one would be some wood to fill in the open space at the top of the wall where it won't burn through quickly. You can't use a real little teeny piece of plywood or really thin plywood. There's some certain requirements for that. And then there's a caulking that goes along with
It has to be 3/4 inch plywood, or you can use a 2x4
or something.
2x6 or 2x4. But usually that's when the interior wall, there's a space between that and your exterior. Like if you have a poured cement wall, that's when you have an issue. If you're putting your 2x4s right up against your exterior wall, which I don't recommend because they're not often square or plumb. Then you have a space there between your interior walls and that exterior wall, and you just need to make sure that there's your top plate either extends and touches the exterior wall, and then that it's caulked and sealed so that the air cannot escape and you know, anyway. But that's, that again, you can find a lot of information about that on the internet.
Right. Are there any code issues when it comes to flooring in your basement, since we're talking about code issues?
No, I don't know. I know that there are some I've seen, read some articles about laying down insulation and sleepers on the floor so that you put right. down 2x4s, and in between it you put like foam insulation right. and then but you I put another level of plywood. That's more just to have, so you don't ever have to deal with moisture that might creep up through the floor.
And that's also for a comfort factor.
And comfort,
as well.
Exactly. But I don't know of any zoning issues as far as you having to do that. If your floor is no. dry, you're allowed, as far as I know, at least in this area, to put carpet, you know, and, you know, some underlayment
carpet and
or
pad
padding
right on the floor.
On the, yeah.
Right. And so typically people are going to raise those floors up, insulate underneath them because they want that extra insulation, or because they're applying some type of flooring that can't be applied directly to the concrete.
Sure.
But then the downside of that is it's going to raise your floor up, and
right.
often you have headroom issues
yes.
to begin with.
Exactly.
So don't raise your floor up unless you absolutely have to or it's required by your local code.
Plumbing codes, again, if you do a bathroom, it opens up a lot of issues. You got to figure out how you're going to vent the sewer, your drain. You need to be able to vent that, and that's sometimes difficult because your main stack often goes up through the middle of the house, and so you got to figure out how you're going to connect your bathroom to your main vent, or how you're going to run a new vent. I know in some cases people try to run it up through an outside wall, through a garage roof or something like that, or into the garage and up the wall, but that usually need to run a 2-inch pipe up somewhere, and you have to get it usually to the roof somehow, and that's often a big issue to consider.
Right. So like we mentioned on the last show, if you can have your builder, if you're planning on a bathroom and you're building a new house and you know you want to finish it with a bathroom in the future, or some or any type of plumbing in the basement, sinks or whatever, they're going to need vents. So see if you can get your builder to put it in when they're building the house, because retrofitting can be an awkward process.
So there are a lot of different code issues. Those are some of the bigger ones you need to consider, and they take a lot of time to research and calculate some of these things. Well, I'm going to try to put up some worksheets if I can on the website that'll help you through some of these. Let us know if you have any other questions. But that's all we have for this time. And next time we're going to be talking about some of the material choices you have in finishing a basement.
That's right. So, you know, for flooring, for walls, for ceilings, for trim, for you know, all that good stuff.
Whether you can just get those drop-in walls, you know, from the pink guys.
Yeah.
And just modular and just connect it all, like the Lego system.
I did look at those. I did research them, and I did price them out. So anyway, we'll save that for
We'll talk about that next time. Until then, we're the Handy Guys.
Brian and Paul, you can contact us again with our contact information one more time, Paul.
It's 615-676-0877 or go to handyguyspodcast.com. We'll see you next week.
Bye.